Now, in the studio, I have my next guest, and that's Samantha Drury. She's the CEO of St. Bart's. We're going to be finding out all about it. And St. Bartholomew's started in 1963.
It did, yes. So we've been operating for about 58 years now. It originally started as a men's shelter, so set up by a doctor and a one of the archbishops from there to really provide shelter for men. But we've grown over that time, and we now support nearly 650 people at any one time. From transitional accommodation, both for men and for women, social housing.
So women too?
Yes. So we have one of the only homeless shelters for women who aren't necessarily fleeing domestic violence. So that is fully funded through generous philanthropic donations at this stage. So we support 20 women at any one time.
And it makes me feel better about having a losing lottery ticket every week.
That's exactly right.
Because I think, well, I'm giving my bit for community works.
And that's exactly right. So Lottery West has been a fantastic supporter of St. Bart's and many of the homeless shelters and social housing and initiatives that sit through from that perspective as well. So we also do mental health, so supported accommodation for those that have got a mental health diagnosis, and that's sort of linked under the Mental Health Commission too.
Okay. And where is the housing for all these things? Is it in one place?
So the homeless support shelters, our men and women are closer to East Perth. So some might have seen it near the Lord Street. There's a big building there with St. Bart's on that has our men's transitional accommodation. It has the only homeless aged care residential service as well as social housing and where our corporate office is. We have a small family service in Tuart Hill, which provides transitional accommodation for families who have been homeless or at risk of homelessness, and our women's service is around the corner from that Lime Street building in East Perth, and then our supported mental health units and villages are scattered around from Swan, Arnott, so Kelmscott, Medina, and near Osborne Park as well.
Oh, really? Okay. And what age does somebody have to be to access care?
So we generally focus in St. Bart's on the over 18s, but the average age tends to be over 25. When it comes to our transitional accommodation, our men's probably average between 35 and 45, and our women 45 to 55.
And with the supported accommodation, how long can they stay there?
So our social housing is long-term social rentals. Our transitional, the goal per the government contracts is 3 months, but unfortunately with things like the rental moratorium ending and the pressure, there's less than 1% vacancy rate for rentals at the moment. People are staying close to 9 months looking for long-term stable accommodation.
Oh my goodness. And what do you provide for the people that are in-house?
So it's very much intensive sort of case management support, so helping them to, if they need to get ID, if they need to get linkages into Centrelink and the various support agencies, sometimes, you know, 70% tend to have a mental health challenge or various other things, so we might help them to link into the support factors to help them get on top or start to get on top of those, get onto the social housing wait list because many can't afford private rentals, especially with the demand as it is. I've heard stories of over 100 people queuing for a one-bedroom unit and things like that. So, you know, there's nearly 14,000 people waiting for social housing at the moment, and that's where the pressure comes in. So it's working with them, connecting them whilst they start to work on their own personal health, think about where they want to go. So it's their journey as to where they want to gain support. And then, you know, whether there's training support, job skills, those sorts of things, starting to get that journey on the road, whilst our key goal is to seek long-term accommodation for them.
What about if a person has a chronic problem, as in drugs or alcohol?
So we have what's called a no sort of threshold as such. So we accept that people might have drug and alcohol challenges whilst they come in and are supported by us. You know, what we look to do is work with them to make sure they're not impacting anyone else around them, and that they're getting the connections through the agencies that provide the drug and alcohol support and linking through from that perspective and working with them to work out what their goals are and where they'd like to go, and start looking at how they're going to manage their health and make the right decisions. But we don't have a zero tolerance policy that says if you've had, you know, a drug and alcohol problem, you're not going to be welcome at St. Bart's. What we accept is they're normally using that as a coping mechanism of some sort, and they need to start working on some of the trauma that exists underneath to be able to start recovery.
And do they have individual counselling or is it group?
So we don't do counselling, so we're very much around the case management for long term, but we would link them into, you know, people entitled to counselling services under Medicare or other agencies that provide specific counselling services, and then that way that also means that can be maintained when they leave our transitional accommodation and move out into the community.
All right, so if somebody comes to your door and they're really in need of help, you're going to link them to whatever help you can.
Correct. So we sit at about 98% occupancy at the moment. So we've had over 700 calls for assistance over, you know, this year, and we're not able to help all of them. But there are some other agencies that we really work well with. So Uniting and Rua and St. Pat's here in Fremantle that all provide day care and day centres that people can come in even if they're still sleeping on the streets. So we work with them really closely as well to look at how we can provide the support for the person and what they need to best suit them based on the availability of what's available.
Mm-hmm. Do they still have the street doctor for...
Yep. Yes, they do. So homeless healthcare comes and visits our facility and we'll spend a couple of days along with going out across. So street doctor is Fremantle-based. Homeless healthcare tends to be broader. And I think the state government has just agreed to expand street doctor as well.
Oh, good. That sounds like another good interview. And do you get disappointed with the outcome sometimes?
So what we've found that's worked really well, we've been incredibly lucky that BHP has actually funded a complete pilot program that we run called Reconnecting Lives. And what that is to provide case management support when people move into that long-term accommodation. And what that does is it actually means they can maintain that accommodation. Historically, 3 to 6 months after moving in, something might happen again, they spiral down, they lose that tenancy. Whereas what we're seeing, and we're about 2 years into the program now, is over 95% of people maintain that long-term accommodation.
Oh, that's really
good. So it's very much the state government's housing first approach. And for us, it is the absolute key as to how people can maintain accommodation and, you know, remove themselves from risk of greater health concerns by spiralling back into homelessness.
What about when people present with mental health, you know?
Yeah, so about 70% of people would have mental health or AOD underlying issues that sit there when they come into our transitional accommodation. We would work in the case management to see whether or not they might be eligible for NDIS support, link them in if they're, you know, they're keen to some of the mental health facilities that sit around to be able to work with them on their journey of recovery and that side of it. But at the end of the day, they need to make that choice themselves. And then with the demand levels that sit for mental health, sometimes the wait times and various other things can also be a challenge.
All right. And I like what is on this, where by your side.
Yes, that's exactly it. It's very much about the person's journey. It's not about us telling them what they need to do and what they need to have happen and what needs to happen. It's very much about saying, well, where would you like to go and how would you like to get there? And if that takes time, that's okay. You know, we've had stories of people who might take 6 months before they're ready to start looking for accommodation because of the trauma that's existed, and they may not yet be in a position to accept that they're entitled to a house. You know, there was one lady, she'd been on the streets for 26 years. She'd never rented, she'd never lived in her own place. So it took quite some time for her to feel comfortable that, you know, she was entitled to a house to live in and be safe and secure, and that's what she wanted to do, which meant leaving a bit of her street family behind, because they are a support mechanism, and that transition can be quite complex for people.
Yeah, I've often thought about that homeless people may have allies in other homeless people, and then if they go into a house by themselves, they may miss the camaraderie.
That's exactly right. So our women's service is on a site that we're looking to redevelop, and it's a really great opportunity, and we're starting to think about what might be put on that site. And what we're hearing for a lot of the women is part of the reason they say no when we find a social house for them is that fear of actually living alone, mm-hmm. that for them they've never lived so isolated. It may not have been an ideal partner, but they've always had someone with them. And so one of the things we're going to think about is how might we create an inner community with independence attached to it, but allows them to have that connection to security and safety that for them is so important.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause it could be lonely just to go from a lot of people to no people.
And then that isolation can trigger various thoughts, concerns, fears, and creates that environment again. So it's a real sort of mix of accommodation that you need to think about, and along with the different support mechanisms. It's not just a go build X building and you know, someone will succeed. For some people, that's what they want. For others, they like something that's a little bit more communal. And I've even heard stories where some people actually prefer a boarding house style accommodation, but I think it's around that communal living because that's what makes them feel supported at that time of life. I think the ideal model is probably more around independence with linkages to community and communal areas so that they've got that nice balance and they can choose, depending on what they're feeling at the time, to have that general. And with COVID, we all know we need an ability to isolate.
And I'm talking with Samantha Drury. She's the CEO of St. Bart's. Is it just St. Bart's now?
It is. So we went through quite a large rebranding at the beginning of 2020, end of 2019. And really, that's what we've been known for many, many years. St. Bartholomew's is our official sort of legal title, but everyone has colloquially known us as St. Bart's. Mm. And now our branding and imagery all reflects that.
All right. And do you have on-site, like AA meetings or anything like that?
Not explicitly. So where we have some accommodation or some facilities that allow group meetings and things like that, we look to see where they would work. Or we would actually encourage people to go out into the community and link to the local areas of AAs or various other community groups, because that enables them to move off-site and create a wider network of support.
All right. Well, I think it's marvellous what you do. And what about regional areas?
So we're probably down at the moment as far as Medina in terms of our mental health and out in the outer metro. But other organisations, whether that's Anglicare or RUA or Uniting, do have a much bigger presence out in the regional areas. Homelessness, unfortunately, is a growing area of concern out there. The second common ground is being built down in Mandurah, so they are recognising the need, and certainly up east is a big issue as well.
All right. Well, I want to thank you very much for coming in to telling us about St. Bart's.